We are here. We are here. Another day, another episode. What is going on, everyone? Please consider sharing the podcast. But first, always the disclaimer, because, you know, we don't want to hurt no one's feelings. But any information is all opinions expressed on the Can We Keep Real podcast that are views of the individual involved and don't represent anybody that sponsors it, any third party. You know, myself, we're all just, this is all our opinions. And, you know, so we can't be responsible for people that get their feelings hurt. I just had to let that be said, man. But, you know, we're going to have my guy Bob Caradillo come on in just a second. Everyone knows Bob, you know, just a fighter for the community. You know, you might have seen him at the Foster Gloucester school committee meetings, like always fighting for the better of the kids. Well, Bob will be on with us. He had a conversation with our friend down real, Mike Lunny, and you all know me and Mike go way back. But we're going to have Bob on in just a minute.
Not promote or promotion any illegal activities. All content provided by this channel is meant only for educational purpose only.
Owens, my last question is what is the success rate of sex change operations?
Well, we have, it's hard to find longer term data with children, but what the data that we do have, which is probably the most reliable data point available, is from a Swedish study, and it looked at over 10 years, which is really important because regret doesn't just happen a year after some sort of transition. And what you see is a suicide rate that's associated with 19 times higher than the general population.
Well, actually, there is a 0%. There's a 100% failure rate for sex change operations, isn't there? Because it's not possible to change your sex.
That's right.
100% failure rate for these procedures.
That's right. You can't change your sex.
Thank you. And I yield back.
She said, I yield back. What's up, Bob? How you doing?
Mikey, good buddy. How are you? Thanks for having me.
All right. You know, I like that piece because it's all facts, you know, when I tell people that and they, really? Is that true? Go do your own research.
Yeah. And that study that lady was citing is absolutely true. I've read it. It's really the only one with any efficacy at all. They studied post-surgical patients who have had the transgender surgery. And there, the suicide rate is 20% higher than the general population. So what the proponents of this mutilation of these kids, they always cite the fact that, oh, if you don't let them get the surgery, they're going to kill themselves. That's not true. These people commit suicide at a higher rate after they have the surgery than before. So that again is a lie. So both of those ladies were correct.
And when she said regret doesn't happen overnight, and I've been paying attention to some studies and some people that are actually regretting decisions they made back in 2016, 2017, and 18.
Right.
And now they said, you know, because the medication, it was never tested, weird things are happening to them. The female said that your uterus is definitely for sure to just shrink up into nothing.
Right.
You know, and now they got to a mature age where they actually can use think for themselves clearly. And he said, wait a minute, this isn't who I am. And now, you know, and now the state wants to stop us from suing. And right. That's crazy, the bill you were talking about.
Right.
But listen, RIIL, you talked to Mike Lunny about the same thing, because we're allowing now, you know, to pretend to play sports at the opposite sex.
You know, before I get into my conversation with Lunny, I'm on the board of directors of the Rhode Island Family Institute, as you know. About 3 weeks ago at St. Mary's Church on Federal Hill in Providence, we sponsored a detransitioner. Her name is Katie Anderson. And I'll send you the video. It's about a 15-minute video you can watch. And she experienced a lot of the things that you're talking about. She lived as a man for 7 years. She had a complete hysterectomy, total breast removal, And she was on testosterone, and she looked in the mirror one day and had buyer's remorse. And she said, I'm a woman. I'm not a man. And she is detransitioning socially back now. She's not taking testosterone anymore. Hers is a story of courage, of hope, and of love. And I will send you that video so you can look at it. But my conversation with Lunny yesterday was quite interesting. It was yesterday morning, and I gave him a call. I've been trying to get a hold of him for a month, and I've left him two or three Twitter messages, a couple of voicemails. And of course, yesterday when he gets on the phone, he said, well, this is the first time I've heard from you. And I told him, well, that's a lie. That's the first lie that came out of his mouth, because I've been chasing him for a month. And it wasn't even really a conversation. I was asking him questions. I wanted to know what his opinion was on the gender participation policy for the Rhode Island Interscholastic League. And you know me, Mikey, I don't ask any questions that I don't know the answer to first. So I knew exactly what he was going to say, and I knew exactly what the truth was. And not surprisingly, he lied. So the policy, as you know, says that the real policy states that a boy or girl can participate in interscholastic sports based on the gender or the, excuse me, not gender, based on the sex with which they identify. So you can have boys playing girl sports. As we know, the policy allows that. Girls, as you know, are not biologically comparable to boys in terms of athletic ability. Boys have a definite advantage, and it's not safe. It's not fair. All of that stuff. We've talked about that numerous times, and I raised those issues with Lunny yesterday, and he said, I'm not going to tell you how I feel. I want to tell you how I feel as the executive director of RIL. And he said, I support the policy. So I said, we're going to come after that policy very hard. So be ready. And he needs to be ready, because I'm going to be contacting him a lot, and other people will be contacting him also. I'll share his phone number and his email also on this podcast, so people can reach out to him. But, you know, there's the relationship there between RIDE, between the principals who run the Rhode Island Interscholastic League. And of course, the Rhode Island Interscholastic League does exactly what RIDE and the principals say to do. So when I called RIDE about a month ago and I asked him, what do you have to do with the Rhode Island Interscholastic League? And they, of course, lied and said nothing. They said we don't have anything to do with them. So there's a troika of conspirators here in RIDE, the Principals Association, and the Rhode Island Interscholastic League, all teaming up on these poor kids, on our girls primarily, and making it an unsafe and unfair environment for them to participate in athletically. And I promise you, I will never let this go. We have to keep our girls safe, and we have to keep the field of play fair for our girls. Did I lose you, Mike? I can't hear you, buddy, if you're talking.
I'm sorry. Now we need, like, the school committees and everything and the principals to get in line with each other and forbid this, you know, go against it. Like, our community doesn't want it. You know, we are the voters.
We need people to stand up and do the right thing and stop worrying about saving their own ass. Right?
Right.
Do the right thing. Don't let these girls be injured. Don't let these girls have to compete in an unfair environment. Okay. People like Mike Lunny, who has his own daughter, I was told, that played volleyball. I wonder how he would feel if she was playing against boys who were athletically superior to her. I wonder if he would get upset then. So these people are cowards. Lonnie is a coward. He'd never come on this show and talk to me and you about this because he's a coward. And he's worried about his own ass, of course, worried about his own job, and not worried about at all the destruction of our girls in Rhode Island, in Rhode Island sports. Not at all.
And they're using the Title IX that was one time to protect females, to protect women in these sports. And I don't know why more women are not speaking up, because, like, you know, do they realize how many females already lost scholarships?
Yeah.
You know, losing scholarships because certainly. They to boys pretending to be girls.
Absolutely. You know, and yeah, Title IX, this is a complete hijacking of Title IX. You know, when Title IX was written in 1972, you correctly stated that, you know, its purpose was to prevent discrimination based on sex. And that was primarily against women at the time. This not only doesn't protect our girls, it mandates a discrimination based on sex. It totally discriminates against girls, against biological girls, and gives boys pretending to be girls the advantage. I don't say transgender. I say boys pretending to be girls. There is no transgender to me. There's only two sexes. So, and I don't even use the word transgender. So
no, because once you accept the language,
exactly. So they're being discriminated against. Title IX is being hijacked and weaponized by the Obama and Biden administrations, and this is what we're dealing with here. So it's all tied together in RIDE's guidance in terms of the transgender, gender nonconforming, and transitioning students policies that we have in every district here in the state of Rhode Island, and which here in Westerly we are fighting big time, and hoping that our meeting, our school committee meeting on March 6th, something good comes out of that, where I'm hoping that they tell RIDE to shove it and they're going to make their own policy here. And then hopefully other dominoes will fall. That's what I'm hoping that happens. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I hope that that's what happens.
So Mike Lenny wasn't willing to even get into the policy and ask him how they got to that point and who he takes directions from, which we all know.
No, he told me that it isn't his policy. He inherited it when he came in. So he totally turtled on me. He was gutless on the call. He was screaming at me. I screamed back at him. He tried to accuse me of threatening him, of course, trying to flip the tables on me. I said, I'm not threatening you. I'm just threatening this policy. I'm coming after this policy very, very hard. And he's like, no, you're going to come after me, he said. So, you know, this is what they try to do. They don't have any fact-based information on which to rely. So they got to make it personal.
I think him saying that says a lot, you know, because he knows that with the right attorney, he probably will be, you know, culpable for this. You know, if something happens, he's the director. His name will be added to a lawsuit.
Well, we're coming after Angelica Infante Green and him in terms of their jobs. We want them out. They're killing these kids. They're destroying these kids, boys and girls, over myriad ways, not just this way with the Rhode Island Scholastic League, but for the purposes of my appearance here today, that's what we're talking about. But anybody that believes that boys should be competing against girls doesn't know anything about athletics and doesn't care about those who are being affected. So Mr. Lunny can count on hearing from me and others about this policy that maybe he didn't write it, but he told me straight out he supports it as the executive director. I've also contacted our high school principal here in Westerly, Kelly Mullen, and we'll be contacting all the principals in the rest of the state of Rhode Island and talking about this with them, or trying to anyway. So we are coming after Rhode Island Interscholastic League, RIDE, and the principals very hard relative to this, because I want them to know that we are not messing around. We will not let our girls be destroyed and be put in unfair and untenable and unsafe positions relative to athletics in the state.
Absolutely. You know, and there's been cases where you see some of these girls, you know, are really getting hurt, you know, getting assaulted. Coach Goodhart, matter of fact, who recently coached Coventry, he's out in Loudoun County, where you're familiar with the case out there where the girl was assaulted.
That's right.
You know, right. So yeah, this is just, it's just an agenda that they're pushing, but we don't need it in sports. There's no reason. We had a doctor at the Westerly School Committee, a retired doctor. I forget. She was saying how bad it is, how dangerous it is. And I think in one of the New York magazines, there's actually a lawsuit going on out in New York.
There's also one in Connecticut right now where I think it was the Connecticut Supreme Court threw it out, but I believe, and I could be wrong about the courts, but which court, but another court, an appellate court, decreed about a month ago that the girls do in fact have standing, that the lawsuit can in fact continue. So against the CIAC. So yeah, there's a lot of these going on around the country right now. It's happening in every state. Girls are getting hurt. Girls are being put in unfair, non-competitive situations. I saw a video last week of a volleyball volleyball game where you had five guys pretending to be girls playing on the court, and the camera person panned over and showed the girls sitting on the bench. So I want to make this clear. All right. Yes, it can take scholarship opportunities away from girls. OK, but we know that is only one aspect of it. The rest of it is, you know, 98% of kids who participate in interscholastic sports don't go on to play.
No, it's OK. You can actually.
Call you back. Sorry, my daughter. 98% of these kids don't go on to play sports in college. So their athletic experience is what they have in high school. Okay. So, you know, we're ruining the athletic experience even for those who are not going to go on to participate in college. So, you know, not everybody's a Riley Gaines, or not everybody's a Rebecca Lobo or whoever. Most kids are not. Most kids are going to have their athletic experience end after they graduate high school. So we have to make sure we maximize their enjoyment, their safety, and the fairness of their experience while they're there.
You know, and I don't think sports is I think sports is a privilege also. So, you know, you want to play sports, play the gender, say play the sex that you was born.
Agreed. I mean, listen, if you're a guy, if you're a boy and you know, you finish, you're ranked 564th best swimmer as a guy, and you really want to win, Leah Thomas, for example, becomes, you know, the national champion swimmer as a pretending to be a woman. It's BS. It's not right. It's not fair. And it's not safe. So there's nothing right about it.
Well, before Bob goes, I wanted to share this with the community. You know, a Johnston High School student, you know, was in an ATV accident when he got a flat tire and his ATV went into the telephone pole. Whatever people can do, if they can help, the GoFundMe or prayers. But this happened on February 10th. Tyler Fulton was out, you know, enjoying the weather with his friends, riding an ATV, got a flat tire. Lost control, he hit a pole, you know, and thank God he was wearing his helmet because the impact broke the pole, cracked the pole in half. He's been sedated in a hospital on a breathing tube, drains put in from his brain to reduce the swelling, broken facial bones, broken arm, collarbones, laceration to his lungs, fractured jaw, spine. His jaw had to be rewired a couple times to put tubes in, you know, so his family is desperately. You know, parents got to take time out of work. You know, he's going to have a long road to recovery. So prayers. And if anybody can help the GoFundMe. It's definitely, you know, we all got to take care of each other, and nobody wants to see. We're all parents, and we don't want to see anyone's child go through this kind of pain.
That's truth, Mikey. Definitely prayers for, definitely praying for Tyler and his family.
No absolutely, doubt about it, buddy. Man. But I'll share the link and everything. But Bob, man, thank you for taking on this fight. I'm sure you gave Mike honey hell, and just by his answers, you know, this isn't what I like. But as director, I support it.
He didn't say that. He didn't say he didn't like it. He said he's not going to tell me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how. Yeah, I feel. All right. Me. All right. Hang on. I got a comment here before you go see what it is. Coach Fulton said, thank you very much. That's the uncle to Tyler. Absolutely. You know, we really got to do what we can for these kids, you know, all of absolutely, them together, Mike. You know, but Bob, man, what's going on in Westerly as far as this stuff? I know, are we close to a vote yet?
On the policy, you mean?
Yes. As far as, are they going to rewrite the policy?
Well, that's what we're working towards, and that's going to be up to our school committee to do the right thing. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I feel pretty good about it. I feel like we'll be able to get the votes that we need to do the right thing. So we'll see what happens. We'll have to wait to see what happens on March 6th. That's the next school committee meeting. So, like I said before, I'm hoping that at that meeting they vote to rescind the current ride guidance that they use as a policy, and that they vote to write their own. So we'll see what happens. I'm reasonably optimistic on that, but you know, you just never know in these things.
And they're not asking
for it. We had it in Gloucester too, and in Smithfield, but ended up losing by a vote. So
and they're not asking for a lot. Like, we want to notify, we want to talk to the parents. It's only right that the parents know what's going on. One of these parents are going to draw a line in the sand. One of these days, something's going to happen, because I know if it's my kid, there's going to be, I already said, there'll be issues. So, and you're going to get a parent that's going to draw a line in the sand, and he's going to take it out on one of these poor teachers.
Well, we've been waiting for parents to show up at school committee meetings for 3.5 years.
Yeah,
and make their voices known.
So they're afraid of their losing their social status. Oh, what are they gonna think of me?
Right.
People are gonna think I'm a phobe this, phobe that. But you know what? Right. I think people respect you more when you speak what they're thinking.
If you're a parent, I don't know what the hell could be more important than your own kid.
Absolutely.
Your own kids are getting destroyed in these schools today. And we're gonna lose these kids, a whole generation of them. And we're going to lose this country if people don't get off their asses and get to these meetings.
Well, we all need them there. Unify and homeschool. You know, we got to unify and homeschool.
Well, yeah. I mean, homeschool is great, you know, and school choice is great. But, you know, those are not options for a lot of the population.
Everybody. No, exactly.
We have to. And we're paying for public school. We're paying for it. We have to make it work. Because the preponderance of Rhode Island families don't have any other choice but to send their kids to public school. We've got to make it work. We're failing them right now, and we can't continue.
We don't have
that.
The balls to say, to post or comment, I publicly am against, you know, the transgender policies,
right.
You know, and
right.
Like I will say it. I am against transgender policies in all public schools. I am a book banner, if you want to call me. I'm against The Boy is Blue or whatever that book is. Like, any boy that could relate to that book should be seeing a doctor.
Right.
Not in public school anyway. Them books don't belong in public school.
Yep. Yeah, got me there. You're preaching to the choir on that one, too.
Bob, man, you're always welcome. Thank you. Keep doing your thing. And as many people like you in all different districts, SK, you know, you have the advocate over there that's been fighting against this, the lady up at Foster Gloucester, you know. So God bless all these community advocates that find the time to fight for your children. Not their children, your children.
Right.
Thank you, Bob.
Mike.
Talk to you soon.
God bless you, buddy.
You as well. Bob don't need to be doing this. All his kids done graduated. You know, but yep. I know my screen in the back got screwed up. But appreciate everybody, man. Yep, just want to bring Bob on. Big shout out to Rally Point, Coach Penn. The only way to stand is together. You know, there comes a time, listen to the youth, you know, but we don't do that. Listen to the citizens. Listen to what the public wants. Listen to what the people want. How many out there can say that you cool with boys playing on your daughter's sports teams? If that was going on when we was in school, they would call DCYF in a heartbeat. Well, even though the proposed alignment was agreed, even though there's a few situations people don't like, they moving on. Division 4, break it down real quick for those of you that don't know and you want to know and wish you could know, but Davies over here taking up the top of D4 EWG. Coach Stringfellow. Don't know why, but anyway. Smithfield right behind him, followed by Narragansett. A lot of people are like, yo, how is Narragansett in Division 4? Good question. On Tollgate, we know that, even though Tollgate is a big school. And I know there's a lot of people talking about the alignments. Eric Rube, not that I read it, but somebody had told me that Eric Rube, you know, was talking about how to make it better. But I don't know if there is a simple way how to make these alignments better. The Massachusetts way don't work. Because look at all the big schools. If we had big schools in Division One, you would have Coventry. What other big school? Tollgate. Central. We'll have all these big schools in the higher divisions. And the bigger schools are not good programs. I said, what if some of these teams start co-oping? Well, that's not unreal. That's on the schools and the communities. But why don't real recommend that? Maybe Pilgrim and Tollgate should co-op. It'll save the city a ton of money. We can co-op a bunch of these teams. And then maybe go to 3 divisions. You know, how about you win, you move on. You win a championship, you get the option to move up. You go winless, you can move down. Another big question, Central Falls. But from what I understand, is because Central Falls got 3 co-ops. And what they do is they count the enrollment of all 3 schools. So because they had such a high enrollment number, it was able to catapult them into the 33rd spot, picking up Division 3. North Providence, shout out to them. I think North Providence, what is it, girls basketball lost to LaSalle. You know, so tough luck for them. Mount Hope. Charahoe. Did Charahoe, they still got the same coach, Coach Slammer. You know, we'll see what he does. I think he struggled last year. Did he struggle because Dave Cato wasn't cutting up film? I thought Dave Cato was an assistant over there at Charahoe. I didn't even know he was just like a film guy. But he went to Pono, started off 0-3 until the kids started doing something a little familiar. Oh, check it out, man. We're going to have we're going to have We're going to finalize the Cranston East thing. It's coming down. We already know Dunbar turned the job down, even though he denies it ever happened. You know, but you already know how that goes. But we will see. We will see who is going to be the new East head coach. Who y'all think it's going to be? I'll tell you who it's not going to be. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speaker and do not reflect the views or positions of any third party or anything else. So, all right, so that was basically division. Hang on, I got to get back there. That was basically division three. Westerly, Woonsocket, Mount Pleasant, East Providence, SK, Tolman, Shea, Moses Brown. That's going to be a team I think a lot of people are going to keep an eye on this year. Who would have thought, you know, bringing one coach, it's going to shake everything up. Shea, another team, went winless last season. They avoided East Providence to play EG, and I think EG kind of took it to them. You know, that was towards the end of the season. I was kind of blown away. I thought maybe, all right, they're going to bypass EP, go play EG. I thought maybe they were going to take it to EG, you know, but that just didn't happen. Mount Pleasant, you know, always playing tough, man. Always Coach Addison over there. What's up, Coach? That's my dog. I don't know if Coach Addison likes me anymore, you know. I think he got mad over that Derek D'Souza stuff. But shout out to Derek D'Souza, man. Where's he been? You know, we told him to take a year off. Woonsocket, Coach B-Ball up there in Woonsocket doing his thing, man. Shout out to Coach B-Ball. Definitely a turnaround coach. He turned that program around. And if you don't know, you better ask someone, because just a few years ago, Coach B-Ball's administration kind of sidelined him when the COVID thing happened. Then the following season, again, they still didn't let Woonsocket Novans play. So it's going into the third season with no football. Woonsocket comes around, Coach B-Ball does what he does. And you know what? There's a dude you never hear from. You know, I mean, for coaches that are doing the right thing, you don't have to hear them posting on the internet. You know what I mean? Posting, you know, trying to justify shit. I bet I could talk about Coach Bebo all day. He won't respond. You know what I mean? He might inbox me, tell me where to go and how to get there. But shout out to Coach Bebo. Definitely has some great ballers on his team this season. You know, I see a couple of them going up to visiting some colleges. A couple of them up there at UMass Dotman checking out the facilities. You know, the last couple of weeks. And shout out to my man Ryan McCormick, man, doing his thing, man. That's my guy. Ryan, what? They're averaging 25, 30 kids a year up at UMass Dotman. And he gets ghosted. There's coaches that hate on the Bull. How do you hate on Ryan McCormick? How do you hate on Coach McCormick? I mean, he gets even kids that are not going to UMass Dotman, McCormick be looking out for him. So I'd be like, how do you hate on Ryan? You know, but shout out to Ryan, man. Ryan does a great job if you're looking to get into college or maybe your kid, the time is ticking, man. You may not know what your kid's coach is. Don't leave it up to your kid's coach, man. If you're a parent and you hear just this segment right here, reach out to some of these colleges, man. Be proactive in your kid's recruiting process, because no one's going to care when you're left holding the bag. No one's going to care when you're, you know, your kid's doing a D1 walk-on just because it's D1 and you're left trying to figure out how to come up with a $30,000 nut, because financial aid don't really cover walk-ons. They give you a little bit of academic money, but a very small, small piece of it. So parents, be proactive in your kids' college recruiting, man, because there's some good programs out there, and there's some programs out there the coaches use these kids as their vehicle to get where they want to go. You know, not every coach is like that, but a few of these coaches, you know, it's all about them. They're not sending the kids to these schools for the kid, because they wouldn't put them in some of these situations. Who's sending a kid to AIC? Really? I wouldn't. You know, you got to look at where they are academically, what they're doing as sports programs, what's their endowment. And let me tell you, you know, I'm always supporting UMass Dartmouth because I respect what they do, you know, doing a lot for Rhode Island kids. And that's a program where you go there as a freshman and you put the work in, you'll see playing time. These other colleges are not letting you play as a freshman. You will definitely see playing time if you go there and put the work in, you know, but you got to put the work in. And not everyone's willing to do that. I still didn't fix the spelling in Barville. I'm sorry. Excuse me. You know, Hendricken and LaSalle at the top, of course. NK, Cumberland, Portsmouth. You know, Cumberland, what were they? They were in fifth at the last alignment, conveniently, so they could be in Division II. Now they drop one. They lose. What'd they lose in the same week? They lose Thanksgiving Day and they lose a championship. You know, I wonder how that Lima investigation is going on. I know the school committee has a law firm that they contracted out to investigate some things that were going on with the football program. You know, what I knew that there was a kid that had a situation where he was taken out by rescue. You know, it was on the day of one of the playoffs, hours before the game. The kid goes to the hospital by himself. No staff go with him. You know, he was assaulted by another football player, and nobody was around to see it. No adults, no staff, allegedly. You know, I wasn't there, so I'm not sure. You know, but I know that is being looked into by the investigator. You know, something about blood vessels on a kid's lungs, and, you know, he was made to play. But we're going to wait and see how that investigation unfolds. But I think the school committee is like, yeah, because when I was reading the minutes, it looked like they're worried about being sued. You know, so Lima he might have some issues. You know, St. Ray's, shout out to St. Ray's over there. Doing their thing. St. Ray's has a nice young quarterback. He was really balling out last season. I think Wolfie is going to be going on. Wolfie, remember him coming in as a freshman from Scituate, playing at St. Ray's, winning a championship. Another quarterback that beat you, Stan. Whoa. And then Barreville, man. Shout out to Coach Ferraro. I think Coach Ferraro got to be one of the most winningest. A 100 wins. I think he's got to be about 103, 104 wins by now. But what do y'all think about transgender dividing sports, man? Are they doing it for a reason? It's definitely unfair. We are not protecting the well-being of these athletes. If you agree, let me know. You know, but we have Bob Caradillo on today. You know, we'll let you know what's going on. We're going to pay attention to the Coach Fortin trial coming up. That's going to be very, very interesting because I think there's a situation brewing over there. All right, man. The use of any copyrighted material is under the guidelines of fair use, Title 17 and 107. I got to say these little things, man. People want to get in their feelings, have me served and shit. You should sue him. What are you going to sue him for? Stop it, because he told the truth.
Listen, no one's going to give you more coverage. No one's going to be at more games. No one's going to be more informed. I'm not just some guy sitting in his basement spouting off about who's winning games and who's doing what. We're real. The rebellion is real. Providence Journal coverage is going to be real this year. It's almost here. 3 days away.
That's the bad guy. Bad guy. Bad guy. That's the bad guy. The bad guy.